Thanks, man. I just wanted to get that started.
No problem.
Yeah. It's been almost a month since we had our coaching, but of course we've had a debrief in between of your emotional intelligence profile. So there's a lot that I'm sure has been happening. What would you like to chat about?
Yeah. Well, I actually so I reviewed my that intelligence emotional intelligence output with my therapist as well after we debriefed on it, and you know, we talked about this percentile distribution of my emotions and how sort of I was significantly on the sort of the low end of the bell curve when it comes to anger, and on the high end of the bell curve when it comes to things like sadness and anxiety. And, you know, I mean, it didn't shock him. And I think that there's definitely something there, and that I've been sort of reflecting on that since our last conversation and looking for some reasonable opportunities, not necessarily to get angry in an unprofessional or untactful sense, but in this kind of framework of setting boundaries and sort of not having to own every conflict myself and every challenge or problem or issue in life, like being willing to sort of share that with other people around me as a means of just sort of releasing some of the burdens that I carry around. And, you know, I think I've been reasonably successful at that just in the last couple weeks of actually allowing myself a few examples of moments where I've, you know, been able to sort of say, well, this isn't me. I'm not failing here. I'm not necessarily not living up to expectations. It's this other person's problem, right? And that's, I think, been somewhat helpful. You know, backing up a little bit, just in terms of the macro, kind of where I am right now, since it's been some time since we've talked about my sort of professional transition. Professionally, things are going great. I mean, my transition, I've already achieved some pretty big strategic quick wins. I've got a lot of momentum. The people that I've chosen to fill my role open positions are really starting to hit their stride. There's really not anything I can point to that gives me any major concern about my transition. And I think the other thing that our conversations have enabled me to sort of focus on and fixate on is looking beyond the short-term transition and starting to kind of get comfortable with my role as sort of a bigger picture disruptor in the broader sense, in the broader organization. And I've been looking for opportunities to sort of embrace that role. And that gives me a lot of fulfillment. And I gain a lot of energy from those situations. The only thing that is negative at all is my anxiety, which continues to be a daily struggle. And I feel like if I could just break through that, you know, I'd really have a whole lot of energy to harness towards this sort of more crystallized focus for myself in terms of what I want to do over the next several years. So that's kind of where I am at a macro level.
Mm. Well, that's great, Matt, that you're having so many successes and that you've really settled in well to your role and your successes below you is doing well. And, yeah, good insights about the anger and the anxiety. Do you think that's something that we can really, from a coaching perspective today, dive into and just work with, you know, what you could learn from about the anger, anxiety? Because there may be a connection there, or there may be other things.
Sure.
What's important to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is very important to me because, you know, I feel stable in so many parts of my life right now in terms of my professional trajectory, my home life, kind of my purpose. You know, I've got more clarity around that, and I'm sort of embracing this role as a disruptor and change agent and being willing to sort of take some more risks on that front and giving myself permission to experiment and provoke and all these things that I wasn't necessarily embracing with all the gusto that I am now. So I feel so good about all those things. But like I said, the one gap, I guess, in everything is this anxiety issue, which is really palpable. I mean, it's definitely there, and I think some of these emotions do play into that. So yeah, I think that would be a good area to continue to talk through.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel would be available to you if we were able to really transform your anxiety energy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the flip side of all the time and the mental energy that I spend sort of laboring through this anxiety. It's like a fight. You have to store up all this energy emotionally, mentally, physically to kind of battle through the peaks and troughs of those anxiety waves of anxiety. And to the extent that energy was freed up, I mean, that I could pour into more positive pursuits that move the ball forward, not only for me but for other people. I mean, I think I'm sort of missing that energy reserve right now, and I feel like I'm achieving things, but I'm achieving them at probably high cost to myself in terms of the energy that I have to expend every day to perform, and at the same time tackle this internal, struggle with this anxiety. So that's the flip side of all the negativity associated with that burden, carrying that burden around is, there's a huge opportunity on the back end of this if I can break through this this issue and use that energy for positive things.
Yeah. So if we were to work with the energy analogy for now, and if I was to ask you now, how would you describe your reserve or lack thereof of energy? How would you describe it?
At the present moment?
Yeah.
I'm drained. I'm absolutely drained. I'm sleeping, so it's not like a physical exhaustion. I'm getting exercise, and so it's not a physical issue. It's just, I mean, well, it is physical in a sense, in the sense that, it takes a lot, obviously, to perform professionally at the standards that I hold myself to, and at the strategic sort of operating at the strategic level, where, it's not a tactical come into work and punch the clock and go home. I mean, I'm mentally taxed just on a normal day, on a normal day-to-day basis in terms of the conflicts and the issues and the, firefights that may come up periodically. And so, it takes a lot of mental energy just on a normal day, just the baseline. But when you're dealing with, physical anxiety and mental anxiety, it's like take that baseline energy that you need to expend and multiply it by five, right? Because you have to keep both the external wheels moving on the car, but then you've also got to kind of, while the car's moving, you also have to pay attention to all the lights and bells and switches that are buzzing that are telling you, oh my gosh, there's, you know, there's issues with the car, right?
Right. Okay, so that's a pretty pretty clear picture. You know, I feel the intensity of that just by your description. So now I'm wondering, if we were to be successful at the end of this session, what would you like to be saying about your energy instead of drained?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all just feels so heavy, right? You know, I've used the word burden a couple times, and I think there's a reason for that, is because it does feel so heavy. I mean, the opposite of that is a very light, sort of almost playful sensation. You know, the idea that one can just sort of enjoy and not have to constantly self-monitor and manage very limited energy. You know, if I just to sort of almost lay down that weight, just put it on the ground and walk away from it. I mean, that would be the counter analogy.
Okay, so light, playful sensation, lay down that weight and walk away from it. That's a very visual, analogy.
Yeah, right,
so we can play with that where you're at on that continuum, if you like. I mean, through our session, check in and check at the end, or is there something else that would also help you sort of navigate through this anxiety issue?
Yeah, well, I guess I have some conflict in my own mind on some of these things. When you talk about sort of lay down the weight, right, mm-hmm. is you start to ask questions like, I mean, what's really worth it, right? Like, you know, all the stress that you put yourself through, is it worth physical harm, you know, in terms of how that stress manifests? And, you know, so I have an internal dialogue or conflict of arguing both sides of that issue. On one hand, the emotional part of me says, you know, just walk away from the whole damn thing. Go do something less stressful. But the logical part of my brain and the achiever and the person that since childhood has always been defined self-worth through success and accomplishments screams back, no, that's crazy. Just when you've reached sort of the pinnacle of your career and see all this potential upside from here, you know, it would be silly to quit. And so, you know, there's that tug of war that goes on that, you know, it's, I don't know that there's an answer. You know, it would be better to just eliminate the roadblock and continue to live my life the way and try to achieve the things I want to achieve without the cost. But, you know, how realistic is that? I don't know.
I guess we can do some discovery and find out and see what we get to in this session, because there's my sense is that this issue has followed you, as you said. It's been part of who you are for a long time. And so does that mean that it always will be? I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe there's a value in it. So I'm wondering, if we were to disrupt this pattern using your frame,
mm-hmm.
what would have to happen?
That's a great question. Um, one that I'll have to think on a little bit. Because when I think about disruption, I think about tipping the pattern upside down and shaking it around and coming up with a totally new frame of reference. I'm just trying to apply that to the situation. I mean, the opposite of a tug of war, I suppose, where, you know, I exert this energy towards all of my professional goals and I pay a price for it. It's a sort of a zero-sum framework, right? You sort of burn calories and, you know, achieve some amount of work for that, to use a fitness or a physics metaphor. But the opposite of a zero sum would be, you know, that work and achievement and just day-to-day work and professional experience, instead of being a drain, would be a boost, would be a value add, emotional source rather than a sink. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the alternative. But
can
again,
I ask you,
go ahead.
Sorry. What's on each end of the tug of war? There's something on each end of these ropes.
Yeah.
What's there?
I think on one end is it's everything I want to achieve. It's the legacy I want to leave. It's the change that I want to see in the company and the world, and it's just sort of all of my intentions made manifest, right? And then on the other side is, I guess, probably I think it's peace, enjoyment, like art, leisure, freedom, in a sense, maybe the opposite of structure. It's comfort, right? Just relaxation. And you know, I desire both. I think the achiever in me and the mental, the logic, the scientist part of me, the professional part of me, the strives for that left-hand part of the rope, which is the doer, the accomplisher, the hey, you got to fulfill a purpose, right? You only get one life, might as well make the biggest impact you can. But the other part, the sort of the human, the flawed human creature with limits and, you know, that side of me just wants to sit back and enjoy life a little bit. And so I think that's the struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sensing any lightness even in that description of what you do want right now.
No. and you know, I mean, it's probably because you've caught me on a day where I do feel pretty drained, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably useful to have the conversation while I'm in this state of mind, because it gives us a window into probably, we're probably a lot closer to the root of the issue on a day like today. But you're right, there's not a whole lot of lightness there. It feels heavy. It feels like a choice. It feels like it's an either or and I have to choose one. And that by choosing one, I sort of sacrifice the other. And either way, it feels daunting. If you like move the rope over to the left hand side, and you say, "Oh my gosh, you know, you have to forgo the peace of mind that comes along with enjoying life." Well, that sounds terrible, right? But then if you, on the flip side, the just give up, just let it go. The constant ambition, the striving. It's like, it's just as terrifying for me because that's how I define my self-worth. And I don't want to, I don't want to underperform my own expectations for myself. I mean, I'm my own worst critic in that sense. But the counter to that is, well, what you're probably going to ask me is, why does it have to be a choice? Can it just be a balance? I don't want to put words in your mouth, though.
No, I wasn't going to ask you that, but I like that. But I have some other things I want to ask you, where you want to go, because that did prompt in me some ideas of, like, you talk about the drain. So is it about the drain and exploring that and what could fill that or stop the drainage? Or is it similar to what you just said, but is there a bridge that could disrupt this pattern in a positive way so that it is an and rather than an or? Or is there something else that comes to mind now for how to sort of play with this whole continuum of moving from that heavy burden weight to that more light, playful sensation that is on the other end of that? What's your sense of where to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are both useful metaphors, either stopping the drain or building a bridge. Or maybe it's both. I mean, it might be useful to kind of explore both of those metaphors, right? So if I was going to stop the drain, let's take that one first. What might that look like? Well, I think it's going to have to entail limits. Limits on what I, how much I exert. There's a, in a sink, there's always the sort of safety release drain that doesn't let the sink overflow. There needs to be something like that. I mean, it's, I think it's limiting the hours, limiting the amount of mental energy I devote, setting some boundaries maybe on something as simple as when I have my phone out in front of me. So I think the most draining part is the constant, just concentration. I think smartphones are one of the hypotheses I have is that my generation is going to be this weird middle generation where our entire careers, we're going to have to live with the burden of the 24/7 smartphone the ever-present smartphone, whereas the generation behind mine grew up with it. Like, we didn't grow up with it. We didn't have the prolific internet and smartphone even in high school or even in college, right? And it's new, and we had to adapt to it. But we're gonna have to spend our entire careers under the thumb of this ever-present reminder that there's things to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We laugh with. Yes, I know.
So boundaries, I think limits. I might need to define some limits for myself, which I've always wanted to. My default is always exert the extra effort, right? I'm a extremely hard worker, very diligent. Hate to leave things hanging. I'm not like the opposite of a procrastinator, right? I just hate there to be loose for there to be loose threads. And I want to convince myself that I've done everything I can do in the present moment to tie that thread off as much as possible before I move on to other things. And I think that expectation on myself is probably responsible for a lot of this professional angst and stress that I impose upon myself. So limits, I think, is how I'd summarize.
Okay, so I'm still not hearing that that feels like a very good idea to you. Is that just my imagination?
It's not
You're
your
giving me the words, but I'm not sure I'm hearing the.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I think what you're hearing is just I'm just tired. It's just sort of exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
And a certain amount of pessimism in the sense that, will I be able to actually follow through on this stuff? Will I actually be able to set limits for myself? That's been a very elusive thing for me for my entire life. And it represents something, a whole different way of showing up and approaching day-to-day life and priorities and things like that.
Yeah.
I guess I just have a healthy skepticism for how quickly I'll be able to modify those behaviors.
What if it didn't have to be quick?
That sounds easier.
What would you do then?
Well, I guess I'd start small. I probably would start with the phone. I'd probably just start with kind of maybe checking it only during work hours, I suppose. Because I think that's part of the problem when you talk about the drain. Like, if I can box it into a certain period of time and compartmentalize, I mean, I think that makes it easier to contain the energy drain. I think where it spills over into like the personal life and it's constant and you don't get a break from it is where you start to sort of break down, right? And so,
Sounds good.
yeah, I think that's a very tactical kind of easy to police behavior change. It's probably easier said than done.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's almost a level of addiction involved to the information flow. Like, what's going on? What am I missing? Right?
Yeah.
Is there something that's blown up overnight that I need to pay attention to or get out in front of? you know, that there's a certain amount of fear involved of letting go and being caught off guard or being behind or being unaware.
Again, I'm going to use your words. How can you positively disrupt that so that it serves you as you move baby steps towards some change?
Again, just embracing this concept of boundaries. I mean, I suppose that if I start to set the expectation that I'm only going to engage during work hours, eventually the people around me will pick up on that and may start to modify some of their behaviors as well, such that I can sort of reset their expectation that, hey, look, generally speaking, I'm not going to be available outside of this window. And so that might be a productive thing, not only for me, but for the people around me, particularly my staff.
Yeah. How could that support them?
Well, I'm sure my behaviors and habits probably rub off because I'm sure by constantly engaging on things, I'm almost setting a not intentional, but unintentionally, I'm setting the expectation that, well, everybody else has to engage constantly as well. And that's not, I would not wish my behavior on anyone else.
So you're modeling behavior that you wouldn't want other people to take notice of?
Probably, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think so. When you say it that way, it doesn't sound so good.
Oh, dear. Hey, let me check. Are we on track here, or do we need to shift? Are you getting closer?
Yeah, well, I like that. I think that's a very tactical, it feels lighter. It feels not so heavy. Like, I can do that, and I see some value in it. I wouldn't mind maybe exploring the other metaphor you posed.
Sure.
What was the other? So the first one you said.
Can I ask you one question before you move off of that, if I can? Just.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
How would you, shifting this to having limits with your cell phone, support you in your personal life?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I think all of us have been in the situation where you're out at dinner and somebody's checking email as opposed to engaging in the dinner conversation, right? And how that's very annoying to everyone, right? At least it is to me. So, it's like, hey, what's your priority here? The phone, or your friend, or your colleague, or your spouse, or whomever it is that you're sitting across the table from, and so, you know, I think. Allowing that space to engage with the people that give me energy and give me reassurance and strength and sort of refuel some of the energy that gets depleted. I think being more free to dedicate my time and mental energy to those people, I think will be mutually beneficial to me and my emotional well-being, but also beneficial to them and letting them know that I'm prioritizing them over the day-to-day stuff that could wait until 8 a.m. the next morning, right?
Gosh, I sense that could be a powerful shift.
Yeah, I think so. I do. I like this. It's very tangible, right? As a next step. Mm-hmm. Very tangible.
Okay, so you've got a next step with that, and I know you wanted to explore the bridge. So, what would you like to do that, or continue on with what else you can tangibly do?
Well, I just wonder if there's something tangible that'll come out of the bridge metaphor as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything in mind. I'm just supposing.
Would you like a question, or do you just want to ponder it yourself?
Yeah, no. A question, I think, would might be helpful in getting the wheels turning.
Okay. So if on one side you've got burden and weight, and on the other side you've got playful and light, what could possibly be the bridge between the two with building blocks?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess it would be, can I mix?
Sure.
Is there an opportunity to mix, right? To mix some of the light in with the heavy. Provide doses of light in all the heavy. And what might that look like? I mean, it might involve deliberately doing something, deliberately infusing fun in the most stressful parts of my day. Finding ways to either insert humor or a fun disruptive activity or even just a change in my routine somehow to sort of disrupt all the heavy structure that is the same every day. I feel like some of my anxiety just comes out of almost like, okay, coming into the same building every day, coming to work and like the same routine, and you start to feel the butterflies when you walk in the damn building because you know what's coming. You know, I wonder if there's even just a simple change to my routine that would provide a different mental frame. I mean, it might mean like something as simple as setting a reminder a couple times a day to just whatever it is that I'm doing, just to break away from it and go engage with some folks and have a laugh, or ask them what they're up to. I mean, that might be instructive in the sense that it might show me that there's literally nothing that I can't break away from.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would be freeing in a sense.
How would you do that?
I could ask my assistant maybe to just at a couple random points throughout the day just to tap me and say, just bring her in and say, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Can you help me?
Uh-huh.
It actually might be good to do it randomly as opposed to on a schedule.
Right.
Not enlist somebody else's support. What's that?
Exactly. Same thing. I was just saying, great to engage someone else to help you.
Yeah, because I feel like I need some help in shouldering some of this, right?
Yeah. Who else can help you?
Oh, my wife can help me too. I mean, she
say that very matter-of-factly.
Oh, because she's just very. I mean, you know, I share everything with her. I mean, she gets it. She understands what I'm going through, and is extremely supportive. That's why I'm so matter-of-fact about it. I mean, she would help me with anything that I asked her to. You know,
uh-huh.
And I don't think I probably don't leverage her enough.
How would you want to leverage her this next few, like, I don't know, days, weeks?
Well, I feel like this is going to sound really terrible and sad, but I almost need like somebody to hold me accountable for having fun.
Great. That sounds like a bridge, a good bridge.
Yeah. I mean, I think she'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay.
This is good.
Okay, good. Excellent.
All right.
Let me just really quickly write these down. Sure.
So the first thing we said was phone limits and personal time. The second thing we said is engage my assistant in randomly almost disrupting my routine, intentionally, productively disrupting it. And engaging my wife for support and holding me accountable to have fun. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Let things go.
What a great brief to give her.
Oh, I know. She's going to love this. She's going to absolutely love this.
That's good.
This is good. I like this.
Okay. So what did you learn today about yourself or your situation?
Well, you know, I think one of the major takeaways is all these things that feel so daunting can be reframed as there's ways to break through the fog of this very daunting, thick fog. There's ways to just through very simple steps that really aren't burdensome at all. I guess my initial, when you get sucked into this this anxiety and these emotions, and even the physical sensations that come with anxiety, it just feels like it's never going to lift. It feels so oppressive, right? And there are ways to reframe that and take some very small but meaningful steps that give you a sense of optimism or hope that, okay, that there are things. This isn't something that's just imposed upon me that I have no agency over. Like I can do, there are things that are in my control that I can do or that others can help me to break through some of these things. And it might not happen overnight, but I can certainly make steps in that direction.
Yeah, and something that struck me that you said is that in amongst the heaviness can be infused the light. And I don't know, something about that really stuck with me as of what you said as well.
Yeah, agree. I mean, it might be, in other words, it might be impossible to remove all the heavy all at once, but to poke a few lights in the midst of the heavy feels a lot less difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's probably helpful, almost certainly helpful.
I do sense a little bit of lightness in your voice compared to where we started. How would you describe where you started to where you are now?
Yeah, agreed. I feel like things were, you know, I was in a mental kind of funk when we, before this morning and before this conversation started. I think, you know, I'm not out of the woods on that yet, but at least I have some sort of rays of light shooting through that, you know, I can, or some green shoots growing that gives me a sense of hope, right, around.
Yeah.
Around, you know, I think these are things that I can tangibly do, and that gives me a sense of optimism.
Excellent. Good. Anything else you need before we finish up today?
No, I really needed this. Thank you.
Good.
This was great timing for this conversation.
Excellent. Well, let me switch off the recording because I just want to quickly check on the scheduling of our next call. Is that okay?
Okay.